And so here's where, if it sounds like up till now I've been rather critical of the Palestinian side for not engaging in the kind of negotiations which I think they should be doing. Here, however, is where I think we have, on the Israeli side, failed. Because essentially, we've done next to nothing to reach out to the Palestinians, in fact, to the Arab world as a whole, to try and convince them of exactly this fundamental precondition, i.e., that we're legitimate.
So how do you suggest that we do that, and where did we fall down in that regard?
Well, actually, this is where I think we should be going further, and here's where I bring in this other form of dialogue, which I call conversation. Now, in a conversation, what do you do? Well, you're not negotiating now. You're not trying to make trade-offs and exchanges in order to reach some accommodation. Rather, what you're trying to do is convince your interlocutor of something. And this is what I obviously think we should be doing. We should be convincing them of something, namely that the idea of a Jewish state is something legitimate, morally. That doesn't mean that they only have to sort of put up with us. When I say that it's legitimate morally, what I'm saying is they have to be convinced that it's a good thing to have a Jewish Israel. And they may have other good things which they would prefer, and that's when you have the kind of conflicts then that call for negotiation. So what I'm saying is that we need to reach out to them in a way that convinces them of this particular idea.
Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, well, you mentioned the concern about anti-Semitic propaganda, let's say, in their media. We, the Zionist slash Israeli side, are very keen on decrying anti-Semitic propaganda in the media in the Arab world. But that's about it. We never, it seems to me, do anything to counter it. I think that the Hebrew word here for this is haspara, or what do you Americans call public diplomacy. That's the kind of thing which I'm thinking about, is reaching out through the media and other ways that, I'm putting the emphasis on the idea of legitimacy, right? We have to convince them that morally, the idea of a Jewish Israel is a good thing. And that means not just that it's a good thing because it would be good for their pocketbooks. It's a good thing because, in a nutshell, because we have a nation here, and this particular nation, like all nations, needs some form of recognition from the state under whose sovereignty it lives. And that means that the Jewish Israeli nation needs recognition from the state, the Israeli state. Hence the need for a Jewish state. And that's a principle which is no different from the nationalism on the Palestinian side. If they think, I think they're right, that morally it's important that they have their own state, one that recognizes their nation, well, it's the very same principle which I'm invoking here, which I should point out also has ramifications for domestic politics, vis-a-vis Israel. What I mean is that this principle also, it seems to me, applies to the Arab-Israeli nation within Israel. And here's where I think perhaps my Zionism takes me way out of the mainstream, because it seems to me that for the very same reason that as a Zionist it's important, I believe, that the Jewish-Israeli nation be recognized by having its own state, a Jewish state, I think the same has to be said of the Arab-Israeli nation, which is nothing but to propose that we recognize that Israel is a multinational country, and that means that, for example, the Israel Basic Law today, which declares that Israel is a Jewish and democratic state, seems to me that needs to be amended to add, beside the Jewish, Arab. Because again, this particular principle demands that sort of thing. So, in a sense,
so let me ask you about that. So, what we all agree is Israel as a Jewish state. We have an Arab minority here. We also have other minorities here who are not necessarily Arab and not necessarily Jewish, by having members of Knesset representing the Arab population, stating all of these really inflammatory statements about the state and how it shouldn't exist and how we should have a one state, everything coming from, for the most part, from the political figures in the Arab community are not very susceptible to having some kind of understanding, because the premise again is that we're really not Israeli, we really are Palestinians, and while we enjoy the benefits of a free democratic state in which to even say all these things, we don't want to in any way truly align ourselves with the state of Israel, and we would really hope that the Palestinians in fact really manage to take over the country and have a right. One state solution.
Well,
how do you deal right. with that? How do you work
right. Well,
that
I mean, there's out? No question that there are a lot of Palestinians, Arab Israelis who think like that. Not all by any means.
No, not at all.
But again, I just come back to my call for conversation. Right? I'm guessing that you think they're wrong to think like that.
If there's any question of loyalty, then that really doesn't play well. And if we're taking care of Israeli towns and villages in the Galilee with an infrastructure that's technologically up to date, then certainly we should be doing that with al-Fahm and other Arab communities. But when there's a certain sense of hostility that's generated there, again, I keep using leadership. When that leadership isn't forthcoming and presenting an argument of that we are equal citizens here and we should be afforded the opportunities that that the majority is getting, and that we will serve in the army, that we will do whatever needs to be done, that we want more representation in the social services and so forth. I mean, it's very hard in one sense. I mean, it's a Gandhi kind of move. It's very hard to fight that. But when you have a sense of hostility on the other end, you're not very generous.
Well, you're putting your finger on one of the major challenges for anyone who is making a call, as I am, for conversation. Because conversation is obviously a very fragile form of dialogue. And if one senses adversity on the other side, well, it's very difficult to have a conversation, to have the kind of open mind and the willingness to listen that you need in order to pull one off. That's the challenge. What I'm saying, though, is that I should be clear, what I'm talking about here is mainly a critique of our side. Certainly they have their problems on their side, but right now what I'm talking about in particular is what have we been doing wrong and how can we do something different in order
to help. So if you were the government advisor right now, Charles, you're now... I'm giving you my blessings to...
It's always trouble to put a philosopher in charge. But, yeah, okay, if I was the philosopher king...
I'm sure people want to hear. I mean, they'd be interested. Right.
Well, again, the idea is simple. It is that I would do everything possible to try and reach out to the Arabs, both Arab Israelis and the Arabs outside of Israel, and try and convince them of the legitimacy of the Jewish Israeli nation. And
how do you do that? How I mean, give me
Tachlis.
Bottom line.
Right. How do you reach out? You talk to people. You learn Arabic, you look at the Quran, which by the way, I think you'll find a number of statements affirming the idea of legitimacy of a Jewish Israel. Do everything possible to make the arguments to convince them of the truth of this proposition. And here's where the work that I've been talking about vis-a-vis the Arab Israelis is relevant to the larger conflict. Because the idea, I think, is not to, again, to convert them into Zionists, make them part of the Jewish Israeli nation. Rather, it is to make them into what I call patriots, i.e., Israeli patriots. The hope is to make them feel more at home in Israel, such that they will then help us to reach out to their brethren outside of the country and help us in this larger project of convincing them to engage with us in terms of good faith negotiation.
100% with you.
So that's the challenge. And my argument, in a nutshell, is that we've never really tried in any significant way. The Israeli Hasbara budget, for example, is infinitesimal. I recently read a piece in Haaretz about, the 2004 Israeli Hasbara budget was less even than the amount that's spent to sell bamba, which, you know, is a very popular snack product here in Israel. Israelis haven't put very much energy into this side.
So we really have to ramp up the Hasbara. We really have to fund and make an effort, from your point of view, that would be a tremendous benefit, not only internally with our Israeli Arab citizens, but also with the Arab nations beyond us and the Palestinians, of course.
Absolutely. And because I happen to believe that what we're trying to convince them of is true, I think that chances there is the possibility that it can work. And then, and only then, it seems to me, can we begin a serious effort at good faith negotiation.
I hope someone's listening that has the power to...
Well, in a way,
instrumental. I agree 100%. I think our Hasbara has been really pathetic. Unbelievable is that the lack of understanding and recognition of the power of Hasbara, the power of being able to state your case and having the funding and the qualified people out there to be able to do it in all languages. I mean, in one sense, America did this at the time through Voice of America. I mean, it was at that moment in time with the technology they had. It was in a brilliant move.
The Israeli government, we should say, has begun. There is a new satellite channel in which the Israeli government broadcasts in Arabic. They have a website now in which, in Arabic, they describe what they're on about. So there has been some steps, but these are far from enough. And my argument is simply that... because we haven't really made a decent effort at this, it's premature to rule out negotiations. It's premature both to think that they're ready now and we can engage in it now, but it's also premature to think that it's never going to be possible to deal with this problem in that way.
You're listening to IsraelScene.com, and we're speaking with Professor Charles Blackburg from the University of Montreal, who's been living here for the year on sabbatical. And this is Steve Ornstein. If you have any suggestions or comments, please send them to us at radio@IsraelScene.com. That's SEEN.com. So tell me a little about your novel.
About the novel?
We just switched.
Right. Okay. It's just, you know, it's a hobby. You can't spend all your time researching philosophy. So I figured I would. Do something a little different, although
without footnotes.
Without footnotes, that's right. It's a lot of fun just to type away there and not to have to worry about.
Isn't that wonderful?
It sure is. But I haven't gone that far because, as you can tell from the title, the main character is a philosopher. I won't go too far into what he's up to, but I guess in a nutshell, you could say that I think I'm writing a kind of upside down. Don Quixote, in a way, in that, I guess the standard take on Don Quixote is that Cervantes is trying to send a message about how a particular worldview, the honor ethic that Don Quixote was so taken by, really has no place in the modern world, and if you live by that, well, some pretty silly things happen. I disagree, and... So I'm trying, in a sense, to present someone who maybe has something to teach the modern world about honor. Maybe we can't do without honor as much as someone like Cervantes thinks we can. And anyway, so I've been trying to write a little story which, in some sense, communicates this idea. But I have to say that more than anything, I'm just trying to have some fun with it, and so it's not just to push.
Well, you're smiling broadly.
Because I am having fun with it. I'm not trying to just write a philosophy in fictional form. Although some of my ideas from my philosophical research are finding their way in there, at the end of the day, I'm just trying to write something which is fun we'll see. We're about halfway there, and it's been fun writing. So
I look forward to reading it.
Bevakasha.
Thanks so much. It's been great.
Thank you, Steve.
Bye. IsraelSin.com